Whose image and inscription is this? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Mass is free. Who could purchase it? It is of infinite value. And there always are some freeloaders, I suppose. Today's Mass, as it happens, is about money, wealth. Today we look at worth, whether in the world, government, or in the Word of God. The Epistle and the Gospel instruct us that rendering unto business, I've just read to you, it's deeper than you'd think. For the Master makes us consider not money today, your tax dollars at work, that new tax bill they're talking about in Washington. It seems they never got around to draining the swamp, and it's actually getting a little bit larger. But consider instead, Christ says, a coin whose worth is infinite. Whose is it? Well, whose image does it bear? Read the inscription on it. Tuesday, it will be the 100th anniversary of the bloody Bolshevik Revolution in Russia, which established communism, which put into practice Marx's thesis. There are a lot of theses these days. Last week we had the theses of Martin Luther, and they never do anybody any good. For Marx's thesis, it's all about money. Politics, economics, and society itself, culture, religion. He calls it economic determinism. But he also holds that the state is all, that government is everything, and the citizen doesn't really matter. Oh, they claim, if only there could be a fair redistribution of wealth, how happy everyone would be. Socialism, which in turn inspires, it started in the 50s with the Protestants, the social gospel, or liberation theology in South America. In our country, they'll tell you that you, the individual, you are God. You get to decide. It's your body, after all. Your rights. No religion would be right to try to take that away. But they tell you this as they're dipping their hand into your pocket to take even more money for their taxes. Neighborliness, Obama called that once, imagine. And with the taxes, by means of your money, will they change you? And for that, they use wars and education and culture. Oh, and the courts as well. Does that sound familiar? It's the same revolution as 100 years ago, just slower in its approach. Man starts out as a god, but ends up a slave. Somebody, though, is making a lot of money and gets to keep the power. It really is a swamp, and we need to stay out of it. We need to save our souls. But what about the money? St. Paul is writing today to thank God and the Philippians for an especially generous collection they sent his way. But he's also warning them, you have to be very tactful here as a clergyman, against attaching too much importance to perishable goods. He writes that may you approve the better things. You know, there's nothing like money or the love of it, he says somewhere else in an epistle. to mess things up, whether it be a marriage or whether it be family relations after somebody's death and terrible squabbling about the estate. Nothing should cloud your consciences, insists St. Paul, nor hinder your progress. Today's gospel is not actually about money. It's Holy Week, and time is running out, and the Pharisees want to make Christ betray himself in his talk. And they don't succeed. So, before the week is out, the Sadducees have a go at it. Now, who are the Pharisees and who are the Sadducees? Well, it's a bit like the Democrats and the Republicans today. It's a distinction without a difference. The Sadducees, though, they were the wealthy class, they would seduce one of the 12 with 30 pieces, 30 coins, silver, money, to betray Christ. Today, the Pharisees make a temporary alliance with one of the smaller parties, and they're called the Herodians, in order to get Christ. Our Lord introduces the topic of money into the conversation, a coin. He says, get out your coin, let me see it, in order to get away from the trap they've prepared for him. Thus, our Lord shows his divine wisdom as he quickly dismisses talk of government rights. The sense of it is, oh, you carry Caesar's coin? Jews weren't supposed to. Well, you're a swamp dweller. Fine. Well, be fair. Pay what you owe. Now let's move on. What he's really thinking about is what the Jews are plotting that day, his death, and how that he would offer himself, his death, to God. He who himself is the image of God. Christ the coin, he would spend and be spent. The image of God, as are you. You should ask yourself, whose image, whose inscription is this? God knows the answer. We don't know how valuable we are. For Marxists and secularists and leftists and statists, for the big shots of government and of education, oh yes, and entertainment, Harvey Weinstein thought that money made him omnipotent. But the idols of the world never keep their place in the temple for too long. And I include in that category of the left the Novus Ordo and Bergoglio, and all of them, him included, outside of some PR stunt for the cameras, for all of them, they think you're nothing. You're nobody. You're worthless. Little people, small change. A penny on the sidewalk, hardly worth bending over to pick up. And we almost believe it. Man does not know how valuable he is. God does. St. Thomas of Villanova preached this in the 16th century. There was not enough money in the whole world to redeem man. What does redeem mean? Remember, it means to buy back man. The Word of God, he continues, the Word of God became golden coinage to pay our debt. And in the transaction, his bitter passion, he lost all of his beauty, the passion, left that coin covered with congealed blood. You could barely make out the inscription, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. But you, whose image do you carry? Whose inscription? O man, you carry the image of God, in whose likeness you were created. Stop here. The Muslims, the scourge of God, slated, I fear, soon to be our masters. That was the reason for the beginning of the Middle Eastern wars under Bush 1 and Bush 2, that terrorism should be unleashed in our midst, and that the great Muslim migrations should begin. For the Muslims, they could never accept the Mohammedans who killed in the name of their Allah. They could never believe that the maker of heaven and earth would bestow his image upon lowly human beings and die for them and thus exalt them. For Muslims, as for Marxists and modern, up-to-date liberals who hold the power still, man is a tool, a weapon at times, a means, a worker, a consumer, a slave. His life means nothing. Kill him before birth, if you will, or kill him afterwards with abandon in some nice war. But you, look at the coin. Whose image and inscription is this? We are made in the image and the likeness of God. Our souls are immortal. We will never die. An inscription? God's law it is. It is written on our souls, the natural law on our heart and conscience inscribed, says St. Paul. Your soul is divine coinage. It must carry, it must show the inscription, becoming your job, more and more Christ-like, so that the gold may glow with his life, that's grace. Even though we be spent ourselves, the image of his death, so that we can share in that glory, making manifest his resurrection. We see this perfectly in our saints. Our Lord invested in them, and not in vain. They paid off. They too show his shining image. These little ones today represent in a vivid way to our eyes an element of sanctity, which is innocence. But like all of us, saints do have to grow up and deal with the small change of daily life and maybe big bucks. Padre Pio, with his vow of poverty, built a hospital in the middle of nowhere on an Italian hillside. Blessed Martin de Porres, yesterday, poor son of an ex-slave, he built and opened an orphanage, money again, to give it away, to use it well, while holding it at arm's length, money to beg for it betimes, yes we do, but never to be dazzled by it. Net worth never yet set the soul's value. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Pass it on, this wealth, pay it forward. The saints knew this, and so do those who would be saints. Bishop Sheen raised and spent tens of millions of dollars, gave it all away in the 16 years he headed the Society for the Propagation of the Faith. In the 1950s, an archbishop missionary from Africa came to see him about getting some of that money, and his name was Archbishop Lefebvre. St. Thomas of Villanova fed the poor daily who came to his door. He gave them a dinner, a cup of wine, and a coin. One time the police came to see him to inform him there were double dippers and criminals and those who refused honest labor lined up outside his palace. Well, he said, you're the police. You do your job. Arrest them if you must. But I will do my job. I'm the bishop. My job is to assist those who come to my door. But in so doing, your charity may very well end up, St. Paul's prayer today, abounding in knowledge and in understanding. Holy Ghost gifts for you, back at you. Already in the era of Thomas Jefferson, there was in Poland a kind of a prototype of the modern secularist ruler. He was a Polish prince, and he had written a book which he thought would disprove the existence of an immortal soul. He was just about ready to publish it. He was out walking one day, and a poor woman, very poor, a peasant, in tears, threw herself at his feet and begged an alms. Her husband had just died, and she said, I'm so poor I can't even afford to give an offering for a mass to be offered for his soul. And just out of human compassion, philanthropy, the prince gave a golden coin to this poor woman. She thanked him profusely and went to church to see about arranging the masses. He returned to his palace, thinking nothing of it. Some 5 days later, in the late afternoon, the prince was in his study, proofing the text for this book, and suddenly he looked up and he saw a man in peasant's dress standing in front of him. How did he get in, he thought. Prince, he said, I come to thank you. I'm the husband of that poor woman who begged the money for a mass. You gave it to her. Your charity was pleasing to God. He permitted me to come and thank you. And with that, he vanished like a shadow. The prince sat at his desk, stunned, and then he got up and he plunged his manuscript into the fire and returned fervently to the practice of the faith of his youth. One coin, one act of personal charity from a man who was high and mighty merited his answer to today's question, whose image and inscription is this? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.